Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 532, Halo Space Battles, recorded live on March 24th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And I'm your third host, Godzilla T.
And welcome back. It's been a while since we've done the podcast. Another 2 weeks, as we were off last week to the Halo World Championships, which took place. And congratulations to Counterlogic Gaming for winning that. We'll have all the details on that, plus some team interviews next week. We actually got to interview two international teams, another American team, and got some nice insight from some of the casters as well. But we have a special purpose for this podcast tonight. As no doubt you've already told by the title of this podcast, we have the folks from the Sins of the Prophets mod on tonight. And they are Unikraken, Cole, and Lavo. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thanks. Happy to be
here. Thank you.
So we're going to be talking a little bit of news to start off, and then we're going to be mostly focusing on the Sins of the Solar and Sins of a Solar Empire Rebellion mod that is the Sins of the Prophets, which is basically, think Halo Fleet Battles, but in video game form. Or the whole space battles thing is that everyone has wanted since the beginning of like Halo 3 or whatever. So we're really excited to have them on. We've been trying to get this going for a while, and schedules kind of got out of whack, and we're happy to have them on finally. But to start some things off, at the Halo World Championship, 343 did showcase a new trailer for Warzone Firefight. Who's all excited for that?
Dude, you have no idea.
Not.
That announcement made my year. I'm so excited for it.
I know where my summer will be going.
Yeah. And it looks like it will be out sooner than we might think. There's a lot of speculation going on right now about people or some of the news outlets being able to get hands-on already with Warzone Firefight, and I think there was a rumor on Twitter that some website was going to have some gameplay tomorrow, possibly. I don't know how true that is, but it sounds like Warzone Firefight might actually be here sooner than we think. So it could be something that we might even get it next month with the April update.
I would like that.
That would be pretty amazing.
Fantastic.
It doesn't seem like we're having a March update, since they haven't really talked about one at all. But having an April update that has Warzone Firefight, it's a pretty big enough update. And yeah, I think it would suffice well to not have a March update for Warzone Firefight.
It's worth
it. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I could deal with it.
So lots of goody stuff with that. I think there's still a little bit of speculation on how exactly if it's going to, how much Warzone is going to be, how much Firefight is going to be. What do you guys kind of want? I'm leaning more towards Firefight in terms of maybe having it round based or having certain waves, but there's also, I want the Warzone. I mean, the Warzone aspect of the bosses that are already in Warzone and the environments that we have is obviously going to be there, but how much Warzone would you guys like to see versus Firefight from like Halo? I guess let's take the Halo Reach Firefight since that was the latest one. I guess anyone can jump into that one.
I'm leaning more towards the regular Firefight with rounds. As much as I would like to see it more open base, if that makes any sense of, like I got, when I seen the trailer, I got a vibe of it's going to be more Warzone focused, but I'm really hoping to see that it's going to be more round based like Halo Reaches. And something I really hope they incorporate too was the voices and the funny little things that they put in Firefight. So like in Reach, you were able to buy certain voices like Chief, Cortana, and certain other voices. It'd be interesting to see if they could actually do something like that. I don't think they are going to necessarily do anything close to that, but it'd be interesting to see if they would bring another way in of doing that.
Oh, yeah, the Reach armor effects and voices would be great to have. Honestly, I think it's going to be I think it's still going to be round based. You'll have set waves, and then you'll have your boss wave. The interesting part is going to see how they incorporate the Warzone rec system. As far as how quickly you generate rec points or, well, whatever, rec levels. And in the trailer, you can clearly see at the bottom, you get rec levels, and they, by what they showed on the screen, you know, you're going to be able to call in recs. It gives me a reason to hunt recs now, you know, hunt weapon recs and stuff like that. Generally in regular Warzone, I don't really call in recs because they usually waste them.
I'm the same way.
It gives me a good reason to, really build my inventory.
So someone in the chat was saying that it is rounds. Knight Morgan, if you have a link to that, you can post it in here in the chat. I wouldn't imagine they would make it exactly 5 rounds, though. Maybe for matchmaking. Maybe like certain wave stages. But if you go back to like Halo 3 ODST and then Halo Reach Firefight, it was 5 rounds, or no, 5 waves in the set. No, 5 waves in a round, 3 rounds in the set. So are they talking like 5 waves? Maybe for matchmaking? I mean, take the duration of matchmaking Warzone now. It's anywhere from, like, say you have the full extent of Warzone Assault and Warzone, like regular Warzone. You're looking at typically a 16 to 25 minute game. Wow, everybody is posting this link in here. Holy crap. I must have missed the part in there where they said 5 rounds. Yeah, okay. 8 players up to 5 rounds. So it does sound very much like traditional firefight. I must have skipped that detail when I looked at the article. Oops.
I didn't read the article in full. Just, yeah, I kind of skimmed over it, but I didn't see that it was round-based either.
Well, the thing about the rounds is, are they going to do like they did in Reach where you had the 4 waves, 5 waves, and that made a round? Or is it going to be 1 wave with a boss and that's the round?
I like the boss idea.
I mean, there's going to be bosses. I just, as a matter of where they put them in.
It probably will be at the end of rounds or waves. Their strength and whether they appear in every round is probably what's going to be up for debate. But the mythics, I'm betting, show up around 4 or 5.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the mythic bosses. I just hope they're not reskinned versions of the current bosses.
That
would be very sad.
Don't get me wrong. You know, fighting some of the bosses is kind of fun, but a lot of them get bullet spongy.
Yeah.
Hunters are terrible like that.
Well, hunters have always been bullet sponges.
Except in Halo 1.
Well, yes, except in Halo 1. if you didn't know the trick, they were.
Well, if you didn't know the trick, but that's your own fault.
Well, unless you just, the best thing is you just get a rocket launcher and you put a few into them. And there's no more problems and no more hunter.
I'm just really interested to see what the bosses are going to be. Go ahead, Bio.
No, something I really hope that they incorporate too is scoring. That was something that more of a competitive thing. Yep. That I enjoyed a lot, especially like when you're playing like and you get like into it, you really want to see who's on the top score. Like it makes that fun aspect of firefight, and I really hope they incorporate it in some way. I don't know how they would do it, but I really hope that they do bring it in some form.
So firefight already has scoring. If you pull up the leaderboard at any point, there's actually a score associated with how you're performing. That's, I guess, kind of tied to like your rec level at that point. But if you pull it up, there's
you
like
mean
a score.
Warzone.
Yeah.
You said firefight.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was confused for a second.
But in Warzone, if you pull up the leaderboard, you have a score. That's not your Spartan kills. And I would assume that they're going to use the same scoring structure for that. But I think what you're getting at more, Bio, is possibly having like a leaderboard.
Yeah.
Of some kind, but
or some type of more visible score, like on screen.
Right.
That brute plasma rifle has got me crazy excited.
There's a lot of people excited.
Yeah, I don't think that they're gonna try to drop brutes into it, but God, I hope so. Like it would be good to kill some big apes again.
That would be amazing. Nothing better
than the Reach update that's supposed to be coming out. You could bring in brutes in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skirmishers, maybe. I miss skirmishers too. Those pesky things were fun to fight.
something that would me and my buddy Casey were talking about was something if they brought in a brute with like Pluton, kind of like a knockoff to like it would be as a main boss or something like that. Not as powerful, I mean, but it'd be cool to see if they brought in something like that, like a giant boss brute. It was really cool because he's really starting to read all and get into all the lore stuff, and he just watched Halo Legends. And he's seen it. He goes, could you imagine that as a boss in Warzone? He goes, imagine that as Warzone firefight. And I'm like, that's a pretty interesting idea.
Well, there we go. We got to tweet Bonnie Ross and put a hashtag for Pluton in Warzone.
Yeah.
That was fast.
There you go. So for as far as the firefight stuff is concerned, though, with the five waves, judging by how the maps are designed and depending on how they kind of reuse them, yeah, I would almost imagine it would be... Like, you know how in Halo 3 ODST and then Reach, the waves where the enemies spawn, all the enemies spawn at the beginning of the wave? I have a feeling for Warzone Firefight, for each round, it's going to be pockets of enemies. So I would imagine if I was scripting this, now granted I don't have any insight to how they're scripting it, I would probably think that you would spawn a certain number of enemies at the beginning of the round, similar to how you would start normal firefight. And then depending on how many enemies are left, more enemies spawn in or have a mixed bag of time-based versus how many enemies are left. I hope they don't kind of cheat it like they currently do with Warzone and have it everything is set on a timer.
Right.
But they might do it that way. But I think it would be really cool if it's kind of a mix of there needs to be a time window in which case like the next group of enemies spawn within a round, depending on how many enemies are left from the previous spawn session, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
In other words, if you kill enough enemies, you get an early spawn of the next group.
Right. And then rounds, like the end of a round has, like maybe the end of the first round has a 25-point boss, and then the end of the second round has a 50-point boss, or two 25-point bosses, and then the end of the third round is 100-point boss, and then the fourth round is our normal 125-point boss, and then the fifth round is some outrageously new boss that we don't even know what's coming. Something like that.
That would be pretty cool.
That's kind of my idea for it. I guess we didn't touch on the rest of you guys. You cracking more firefight or more Warzone-y?
I expect it to be more Warzone-y, but I'm hopeful that they can script it to be more firefighty. I really enjoyed firefight. I enjoy Warzone, but not as much as I do firefight from like Halo Reach.
Okay. Cole?
That's a tough call because I enjoy both so much, but I would have to say I'd like it to lean a little bit more towards Warzone, but only because it would feel less mixed. Might be a bad word for it, though.
So that's kind of the big news that happened over the weekend, other than, of course, the Halo World Championship Series. And we'll be talking about that next week, like I mentioned earlier. But let's go ahead and jump into the reason why we're here. The Sins of the Prophets, folks. So it's a Sins of a Solar Empire Rebellion mod. And for those who don't know, that's... Well, actually, let me just let the guys take it away, since they know it best. So, gang, why don't you go ahead and at least start us off with what Sins of a Solar Empire is. Like, what kind of a game it is, because most Halo fans are used to first-person shooters. Granted, we've been kind of introduced to the RTS style with Halo Wars, but Sins of a Solar Empire is a little bit different than Halo Wars. So why don't you tell us about what that is?
Okay. So Sins of a Solar Empire Rebellion is a 4X RTS. It's a space strategy game. 4X is expand, explore, exterminate, and exploit. Instead of it being like a small-scale kind of StarCraft or Halo War-style strategy game, it's pretty large in scale. There are multiple planets. There's star systems, that kind of thing. Sins of a Solar Empire is based entirely in space. You don't do anything on planets other than control them and upgrade like resource stats. You want to add anything, Lavo?
Well, of course, you could bomb them, and you can do many fun things in the game, but it's Uni really covered it. It's a strategy game in space, and the big thing is, when you get a planet, it's not like you get a say, a resource node where, like, all of a sudden you build it and, you know, it's done. With planets, you can go many different paths. You can turn some of them into, like, say, a for something built for a battle of reach with, like, lots and lots of defenses. You can have ones which are foundry worlds, putting out lots and lots of ships, or other ones which are just pure trade hubs. And then some which are even a mixture of all of these.
So what's kind of the overall goal of Sins of a Solar Empire? It sounds like for the four axes, you go exploring, you exploit, and then you pretty much, I'll throw my own axe in there, exterminate.
that actually is part of the four axes.
Oh, never mind.
So it's a skirmish game. There is no single player campaign in Sins of a Solar Empire. It's you set up a match and you have you can set up teams, or it can be a free for all, and you just go at it until somebody comes out on top. It's pretty much a brawler.
Awesome.
So you can have maps where everyone like starts when you like have, for example, you have a big like Covenant detachment moving in on already held and colonized a Unicy worlds, for example. So you could do scenarios like that.
Very good. There's a lot of kind of spacey stuff, like really big environments, and I've seen a couple of videos that you guys have put out with the Prophet's specific mod. But in the best way possible, how big of a scale is this? Can you adequately explain that? I don't know how good of a question that is.
How big of a scale the type of game can provide?
Yeah, so you mentioned that you're like exploring worlds and whatnot, but like, are you talking about like a galaxy, or are you talking about like a cluster? Like, how big of a region of space is this?
The game starts getting trouble when you get closer to 200 planets. The game has some limitations. It was designed in 2008, and it's been upgraded since then, but it's still 32-bit. The more star systems that are in a map, the game can get a little laggy. But you can have like 10 star systems, depending on the number of planets in each star system. And you can still rock it and have a lot of fun with, you know, up to 8 to 10 players. But yeah, after you get close to 200 planets, it is unplayable. So yeah. the scale can get pretty big, but it's not.
Yeah, theoretically, it's not, you could have a really massive scale. Theoretically, on paper, you can have this really, really big, massive scale. In reality, you can get it quite big. You can get like 100, like you get well over 100 planets. So you can get like 150 planets. Some of them colonizable, some of them not. Some of them actually just like storms, air storm areas, like a plasma storm.
Yeah,
and all these fun things.
Yeah, that's a good point. When we say planets, we don't necessarily actually mean planets. There are the game focuses on gravity wells, and then what's called a phase lane in between individual gravity wells. And phase lanes are basically the points you jump between. And then the gravity well is the area you interact in and fight and build. And so you can have things where, like, one of the things that I'm most proud of about the mod that we've added in is we have this giant Forerunner portal. And when you jump into that gravity well, you're actually already inside the inside of the portal's ring. And you like all of the fighting and everything happens in there. And then in the center of the gravity well is the portal vortex, where you enter to slip space to another portal on the other side of the map. And that's like 30,000 kilometers wide or something like that. And gravity wells can get much larger than that.
Much.
Gotcha. So as far as the mod itself, what have you changed? I mean, obviously you have Unicy, Covenant ships, and all that stuff. But what is Sins of the Solar? What is Sins of the Prophets? What's the mod
with reference to vanilla?
So what have you done with Sins of a Solar Empire to make this mod Sins of the Prophets? Like, what have you gotten replaced? Because I know you have the ships, you have
everything, right. Everything. Yeah.
We're okay. So Sins of a Solar or Sins of the Prophets is aimed to be a total conversion, and we want to basically replace literally everything in the game. We're using the game's engine and converting it into a Halo game, basically, like people have done with like Battlefront and stuff like that. So we've replaced the UI, and we're working on improving it and replacing every single spot of it. But it's a work in progress, and so there are some assets that are still in the game that are from the vanilla Sins of a Solar Empire Rebellion. But when we get to version 1.0, all of that stuff will be replaced. We've replaced the UI. We have custom voice acting for every ship. If we don't at the moment, we're working on it. We reach out to the community. We reach out to communities for voice actors and try to pull people in. We have custom sound effects for the ships. We have custom particle effects that we've built for the weapons and the engines and the Forerunner portal, you know, all that stuff. The planet textures are all things that we've built in-house. A lot of it was borrowed from Landsat satellite surveillance, and we've, you know, adjusted the textures and tried to make them look like they fit into the Halo universe and wrap around an entire planet. Basically, everything that can be modded, we've attempted to change or improve.
That's quite an overhaul.
It is, and it's I mean, yeah. We've been since Sins of the Prophets has been in production since around 2008. I didn't step in until 2010, and I took over in 2011. But somebody has been tweaking and messing with things since the first Sins of the Solar Empire came out.
You guys have been working on this for 8 years?
Yeah. It's it takes a long time because, like, if you went back, ever. Cole, try to find a picture of, like, one of the first ships, if you can.
I will get you the very first stalwart we have.
I'll put in a little addendum to this whole timing thing. I've also been at the crack for quite a long time. Yeah, one thing that's also worth noting is this mod originated back on the original Sins of a Solar Empire, before any of the expansions, well before Rebellion was even conceived. So it was in many ways a trailblazer. It was one of the first mods before people really understood everything that even worked with the entity files and the mesh files and all of that. So that's also why it's been for so long, because they helped nail out what we really do with this, what we can do with this engine.
Got it. So a lot of the ships that you have are obviously created off of the Halo universe. And I noticed that you guys have commented quite a bit on the Halo fleet battleships as well. Where do you get the source material for making the ships? I'm assuming there's some game assets that you probably have gotten a hold of, and probably some things that you've just taken from games and stuff. But where do you get all your ideas for ships, and do you make up your own ideas for different class of ships and different kinds of ships for the Halo universe?
Yes, we do. So from reference material wise, most of the time we're looking at cutscenes, and we're, you know, examining cutscenes for like a good hour, 2 hours, talking about the various little pieces of it. Up until recently, we hadn't attempted to actually physically look at the assets from many Halo games. But we had a team member join the team last year. His name is Elijah B.I., and he is one of those people that pull assets out of Halo games. And so we were able to look at the models more closely then, and we've made adjustments based on that. But most of the time, we're just eyeballing it, and we have very talented artists that do the 3D work, and we're very lucky.
Spartan Games, and namely the whole Halo fleet battles, we can actually see the models themselves too, even in our hands, which is really neat. I remember that was how we ended up with the Epoch, was Malcontent like got the model from Halo fleet battles, and he was like, you know, I really like this thing, I think I can make a good model out of it, or something along those lines.
And then it got in game despite us never thinking it would, and it fits pretty well.
It matches well. Much better than we had originally thought. And I just want to make it clear, we don't use any assets from any Halo games. We don't pull things and use them.
It's just reference material.
Right, just reference material. The Xbox game content usage rules actually disallow us from using ripped assets, and a mod will get shut down pretty much immediately once they notice that. And we follow those rules very closely because we want to hang around and we love Halo and we want to respect their wishes. But all of our assets are built in-house, or they're built alongside a fellow Halo mod called Homefront, and it's for Homeworld 2. And several of our Covenant ships were actually made by them in a partnership with us where they shared them with us, and we used them in the mod alongside the things that we've built in-house.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's one of the first type of pairings like that where mods are working together. A lot of Halo mods.
I think Uni, you might want to mention.
He might be talking about Covenant at War. It was an Empire at War Halo mod that we originally used assets from. To my knowledge, I don't think that there are any assets in the mod right now from Covenant at War, but they got it. But they helped get us started. A guy named Blamtroid that was in charge of that project. He shared things with the original founder of Sins of the Prophets, and he was a big help to get things moving and going and get people excited about the possibility of a Halo mod on Sins of the Solar Empire.
Well, it definitely looks like you guys have put a lot of time and effort into this because it looks
it's impressive.
Looks fantastic.
Well, though, and those pictures are as old as Sin, the ones that you've got on the podcast, right, or the
stream, at the moment.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That marathon there's been texture. Some,
there's been some impressive updates over the last many, many years.
Yeah, I've got the Facebook page up, and we'll hop to those in a little bit. But
okay,
a couple other things I noticed, too, when I was kind of perusing through some of the stuff, was you have videos of a lot of different fleet battles out there, and there's just like so much going on there. There's missiles, there's plasma discharges going off. What kind of effort are you putting into all the particle effects and all the sound effects? Because I mean, technically there is no sound in space, but I mean, for the sake of games, I'm guessing that you're still coming out with sound design. So how's that all come together?
I think Cole would actually be a good guy to ask about particles.
Well,
yeah, right now Cole is our primary particle effects artist, and so he would be a great person to talk about it.
Well, our effects, I try and reference them to as much of the game as possible. You can see that a lot with the Covenant and their explosions and so on, and getting them to work in space and make sense, like fire doesn't travel straight up because there is no up or down or whatsoever because no gravity. So we try and get it to flow as well as we can with the game while still making it work in the setting that we're in.
Mm-hmm. A good example of this is the other night we spent basically an hour examining the energy projector that you see in Halo 2 Anniversary, where it blows up the Marathon as Chief takes the bomb back to the Covenant. And then there's another scene where they use the energy projector as a glassing beam on Delta Halo. And we watched those two scenes and took screenshots of them and compared our own energy projector particle effect to what we were seeing on the screen and trying to perfect it as close as we could. And we do things like that pretty much for everything. We're very focused on giving as close to a canon experience as we possibly can for UNSC versus Covenant fighting.
Is everything that you're working on only UNSC and Covenant, or do you also work on some Flood and Forerunner stuff?
We work on a little Flood, and we are in planning stages for a Forerunner expansion. We have in Sins of a Solar Empire, there's this mechanic for the game where pirates invade and attack based on who bribes them the most. And we modded that to be the Flood, and we took away the ability to bribe them. And so the Flood, basically, when a pirate raid is supposed to go into effect, in our mod, a Flood raid happens. And Flood ships are sent out from the Flood planet, which we've modded to look like a shield world that's been taken over by the Flood. And if you were to get very close on like the dark side of the planet, you can see the difference between these red lights on Forerunner structures and blue lights, where there's this symbolization of the Flood slowly taking over this shield world from the Forerunner automatons that are in possession of it. And so the Flood ships come out.
Turn the lights on, you can see the overgrowth.
Right. and the flood ships come out and they take over opposing ships and they attack planets and they wreak all kinds of crazy havoc. The Forerunners, we're right now there are a couple of Forerunner ships that exist on particular planets, like a planet that a gas giant that might have a halo ring around it, or a shield world that you can capture in the game. And they do have Forerunner sentinels that protect them. And they're not just the little sentinels you see in like Halo 3, but there's also the larger ones that you see in Halo Legends Origins.
Oh, nice.
There's a couple of scenes where there are Forerunner sentinels that are attacking Flood as they're invading a Forerunner world. And we've added some of those in, some of the bigger ones. So, and they can be pretty powerful.
So what about some of the smaller ships? I mean, there's long swords, there's probably sabers, pelicans, and some of the other Covenant space vehicles, the Banshees and the...
spirits.
Yeah.
Phantoms. Yeah, we and Seraphs, yes. We have space Banshees.
Seraphs is what I was thinking of.
We have when a fleet begins their invasion of a planet, we use a particle effect that has pelicans and ODST drop pods and longsword escorts where they fly down to the planet. They don't actually interact with ships. The longswords do, but not the pelicans. They're just for the invasion effect. And we have the same thing for the Covenant, where spirits and phantoms fly down. So we've put a lot of attention to detail into this, and we try to keep the scale as accurate as possible. So when you pause the game during an invasion and you see little phantoms and spirits flying out of like an assault carrier, you can, you know, the size is as close to exact as we can get.
That's awesome. Have you guys ever thought about just kind of reenacting a battle to kind of just have a video of it? Or is this something that you guys have just been pretty much focusing on just the total conversion aspect of it? Because it'd be interesting to have maybe like a reenactment of the Battle of Reach based on all the info that we've already had in the books and the games.
We've tried to do things like that in the past, but a lot of us are using machines that were made at the time that this game originally came out. And so recording doesn't work very well for us. And so we rely a lot on people doing Let's Plays and trying to redo those things at this time. But as we move closer and closer to version 1.0 of the mod, where it's finished and ready for the public to have, you know, it at all times, we're going to be doing promotional things like having Fall of Reach maps and videos and things like that to try to build up the fervor for it. But right now we're very focused on just perfecting it and getting it ready for the public.
Very nice.
But we love to see fans do things like that when they do play the mod.
Nice.
Because especially with scenarios, like what you would have is, for example, have the galaxy or that part of the galaxy as like just shortly prior to the Battle of Reach, with both the Covenant and humans already having like full navies and all these planets controlled. But of course, as there's always a but, the Covenant might not actually decide to go, oh, hey, I know where Reach is, right? So I'm going to go hit Reach. Instead, they might go, okay, instead of taking route through Reach, I'll hit this other line of planets instead. Or even you might, if the UNSC is feeling bold enough, they might even try to hit the Covenant before they hit them. So you might not see, we will likely even have a sort of Fall of Reach type scenario. But even there, as with all things, when you're meddling with history, it might not turn out the same way.
Is there a lot of complications in trying to get those scenarios built out, or how easy is it to actually make like a collection of planets and stars? Or like, how does that work? How do you get that system? Like, you mentioned the gravity wells being able to go between different planets or star systems, I guess, would kind of be how you built this out. How is it to create those? Are they scenarios, or what do you call them?
They're maps. And okay. Sins of a Solar Empire has a custom map building tool, and we are currently working on theming it so that it looks Halo and responds to the changes that we've made in the mod, so that people can custom make maps. But there is some complexity in getting maps to work with the AI, because the AI has certain requirements in order for it to behave well. And we're going to try to do our best to communicate those to people as we push out that map building tool. But it's a work in progress at the moment. Most of the time, when people build a map for the mod, things work as they should. But sometimes they need to get information from us about how to improve the behavior of the AI based on the resources around the starting planet and what's available for them to take.
Because a good example would be you would put a shield world right next to the home world of anyone, because if an AI, usually when it sees a planet, it just treats them all as if they're the same. It doesn't really understand always that a certain planet might be a better planet to take first because it's easier to take. It'll see, oh, hey, here's a planet that's unowned, so that means it shouldn't have that big a fleet, because that's just how it is in vanilla.
But in our case, a shield world is pretty heavily defended by Forerunner Sentinels. Some planets are defended at varying levels. The more valuable the planet is, the larger the defending fleet is. Typically, the planets have insurrectionist militias that protect them. Asteroid fields have Covenant ships that protect them. And then Forerunner-esque gravity wells like shield worlds and places that might have a halo ring are defended by Forerunner Sentinels.
As far as on your assets, how much of it do you pull out of the games, and how much do you pull out of the have you pulled out of the extended lore?
For the UNSC, it was about equal until Halo Fleet Battles came out. We had a custom made UNSC Everest, a Valiant class super heavy cruiser. We've had a few other ships that we attempted to make models for before Fleet Battles produced their own version. We had a super carrier for the UNSC. We've got a DDS carrier that we made on our own, in conjunction with that other Halo mod for the DDS, which is a Covenant carrier. And those are all pretty much pulled from the books. The DDS carrier was designed by Leviathan. You might know him from A Fistful of Arrows.
Yep.
It was a Halo comic book. We've worked with him on a couple of ship designs, and we've got two of those in the mod that I can think of offhand, which is the DDS and then the OSS, which is like a carrier-esque battleship for the Covenant that has a hangar on top.
It's carrier only by name. Yeah. That thing is a wrecking ball.
Yeah, it's a mall. Imagine, like, think how, if you remember back when, speaking of the Valiant, when Cole, Admiral Cole, first found the Covenant, and they had the description of this 1x2 kilometer ship that was just absolutely destroying everything. That was what inspired that description is what inspired this ship.
And I'm sure you included the Halcyon class ships, right?
Yes. We use the Halo CE era Halcyon model. Although it's been, you know, we've made our own updated version with a little more detail that we use as the classic Halcyon. And then the updated version that they use in Reach, we use for the Autumn class. I'll try to get a picture of it real quick.
Something that I'm kind of interested in, I don't know if you guys pay too close of attention to it, is how close do you guys keep your ships to what they would be in real life? So like the Infinity, for example, is like 3 miles long, if I remember that correctly.
It is indeed quite big. It's that long in game.
Yeah. So do you guys look at that and try to keep that as close as possible realistically? Yeah. Or is this something that you guys just kind of come up with and kind of go for?
We try to
keep it to the actual scale.
Yeah, we keep everything as close to scale as humanly possible within the confines of the game. They may be a few meters off, 20 or 30 meters off, but for the most part, the ships are accurate to scale. The ships between themselves are accurate to scale, but because of the way the game is designed, planets are not accurate to ship scale.
Yeah.
So planets have their own internal scale. They're very large. They're larger than any ship, but they're not, you know, if you park a ship in a gravity well, you're going to be able to tell that planet isn't, you know, doesn't have a 12,000 kilometer diameter, but
that's no moon.
The scale is kept pretty close.
That's a space station. Sorry. I had to take advantage of that.
You couldn't resist, could you, Dust?
Nope.
So that's another thing, too, that I'm kind of interested in is that you guys are saying planets, and I'm sure we see, you know, you guys mentioned Reach and stuff like that. Have you guys came up with any planets that you get came up with yourself, or has everything came out of lore? Or
We have a combination. Most of the planets you'll see as, namely all the ones in the random maps, are just like generic, for like a generic temperate planet or a generic rocky planet, etc., etc.
Right.
But there are a couple of actual like unique planets, such as a Reach and an Earth. But I'll let Cole take over here. He actually made a bunch of these.
Yeah, I can actually get a picture of Reach if I can dig it up here. Or I'll just take a new one. Just a moment.
But yeah, just talk in the meantime, though, because you've been on this.
We have many of the planets in lore referenced somewhere in the mod in one of the maps. We have Earth, Sanghelios, High Charity.
Balaho is the Ungagoy grunt homeworld, and we have our version of that. It's an icy planet.
Yeah, we also have a generic methane planet. So, like, if you're Covenant, you'll actually, if you want your research the right technology, you'll get a lot more out of that planet than the UNSC would, because you could put grunts there.
Yeah, doesn't the population go over 3 times?
Yeah. Basically, it becomes like actually a very good planet versus a little mediocre thing for the UNSC.
Okay, here's a picture of Reach fresh off the foundries.
So the ship, the Covenant ship that's currently on the stream, is our OSS class. That is a ship designed by Levi. And here, the ship that's on the stream now was our Fannin, quote unquote, designed for the UNSC Everest, the Valiant class super heavy cruiser. We base that off of information from the improbable life and possible death of Preston Cole, which is a Halo Evolutions short story written by Eric Nyland. And the Valiant class was described a little bit in that story, but the major factor in how we designed it was that Cole also brought along a marathon called the Io that he used as a decoy when he allegedly slip space jumped away. So we designed the Valiant so that from a particular angle, from a pretty good distance, you might mistake it for a marathon. But, you know, it's got its own differences and its own unique design. That was created by Annihilator 102, who was one of our primary artists before Malcontent came on. Annihilator eventually left the project to work on. He works for Telemundo now and does interesting stuff there.
They get to grow up so fast, don't they?
it's surprising exactly how much child labor Sins of the Prophets has relied on over the years.
Oh, gosh.
I think I'm one of the first few people who came on to work on the project who wasn't a child laborer.
that doesn't... That makes it sound really weird.
Well, you know, teenagers who are interested in modeling or doing coding work or particle effects, a lot of times they jump onto modding projects because they're easier to get started in, and they learn game dev from that and then move on to an actual industry position.
Now, you guys may have already said this, and I apologize if you did in advance, but what do you guys use to make these models of, like, what program do you use, if you're willing to disclose that, if you haven't said already?
The primary program is 3ds Max. We have somebody that modeled using Blender, and some of the flood ships were created using ZBrush and Maya.
Okay.
And then they textured them with Photoshop.
ZBrush is the only one I haven't heard of.
It's typically for character modeling.
Gotcha.
So the ship on the stream right now is the current Valiant class super heavy cruiser, and that is a design from Halo Fleet Battles, which is the tabletop that 343 is producing in conjunction with Spartan Games.
Right.
And it's a new design that just came out. You can pre-order it now, but it should be shipping relatively soon from Fleet Battles or from Spartan Games. And it,
I still owe them
we
a
like
review.
It so much.
They actually sent us a copy, and I need to still review it. I need someone to play with it actually first. But yeah, it's there's
I'm,
a lot
I'm
cool
in the
stuff
same
in
boat.
There.
I have I have a starter box and I don't have anyone to play with either. So I understand.
Maybe we can just Skype it or something.
There you go. That might
work. I'll get in touch with you later.
This Valiant design is they originally came out with a design that was a little different. It was a little longer and it was a little more. It had a lot going on physically on the ship, and we had some criticism for it. And they ended up changing the model. We're not entirely sure if they changed it because of our criticism or not. But my understanding after speaking to Ken Peters at 343 was that Sparth decided the ship needed to be changed. And so he redesigned the ship and passed off his sketchwork back over to Crispy at Spartan Games. And this is the end result. And we loved their change so much that we adopted it. And we use it in our mod now. And it's coming at the next release. We're very happy about it.
A month ago.
It looks like a really heavily armored ship. That was one of the
things. Yeah, it really does.
I mean, in the old one, it felt like a bit... Like, it looked like a good ship design, just it was a little bit on the thin side, shall we say, for the Everest. But now it looks like, oh yeah, this could definitely be the ship that Admiral Cole used.
We have a hit or two now.
Yeah, we have massive props for Sparth for doing that. For A, for coming up with such a beautiful design, and B, for deciding after they had already publicly showed the other one that it needed to be changed and updated and improved. And it's very nice.
Well, I tell you what, all the ships that we've seen on the stream tonight, they are, I'd have to say they are almost exact representations of what I imagined when reading the books and stuff. You know, they're accurate. You know, those are the ships I saw when I was reading the book. So you guys have done an awesome job, because I have a weird mind.
Well, we really appreciate that. The mod was originally inspired by The Fall of Reach, written by Eric Nyland. And that's pretty much been our, like, when we have a discussion about something and whether it needs to be changed, we go, okay, well, let's go back to The Fall of Reach. And we go to the page number where that particular bit of information is, or the other books that discuss it. And we read it and discuss it. We take the canon very seriously, and we try to respect it as close as we possibly can within the confines of the particular game that we're modding. With the example of Levi, we reach out to the Halo community at large, and we try to pull in information, ideas, sketchwork, voice work. You know, we want to be as active in the Halo community as we can be from our ship-obsessed perspective.
So have you actually interacted with any of the 343 folks, especially Grim Brother 1?
Very ship-obsessed.
obsessed.
From time to time, but I'm pretty sure Grim has gotten annoyed with me because I bug him all the time about stuff. I hounded Grim for about 3 years trying to find out what the official class of the UNSC Atlas was, which is the ship where Master Chief... kills for ODST.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
But I eventually shifted focus to harass Ken Peters, and we found out that it was actually supposed to be an Epoch, which is one of the new Halo fleet battleships. But they showed a version of the Atlas in the Fall of Reach animated series, and that version of the ship was an early design that ended up not passing muster, and so that's why the UNSC Atlas looks a little different. From an Epoch class heavy carrier, but it's officially in the canon.
That's all right. We don't count that as canon.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in it myself. It was called the Fall of Reach and then didn't feature any Fall of Reach, so I understand. I think I think Toa Freak from Halo Canon agrees with us on that too.
He has some pretty strong opinions on it.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, but he's great to talk to. We've had Halo Canon here.
He's a lot of fun.
As far as the stuff that you're working on now, you obviously have a lot of ships done, you have a lot of the assets done. Are you guys still just creating new content, or are you cleaning stuff up? What's kind of the current workload that you guys are working on?
Right now, we're working on the next release. We do iterative releases over time. We try to add in things and clean things up as we go. And right now, the big project is what we're calling Covenant Defense Fleets, or Patrol Fleets. A cannon fodder post in September confirmed that the Covenant used fleets basically as defense options, and so we started building a mechanic around that idea, and pulled some information from other modders in the SOS scene. And we have what's called a fleet beacon, and it's an orbital station. And when an enemy fleet jumps in, the beacon kicks off a notification, and Covenant ships will jump in to defend the planet. And they're at the end result is going to be that these are going to be ships that are not in the normal fleet, and you can't normally build them. There's going to be an RCS class cruiser, which is the ship that the UNSC Infinity smashes into in Halo 4. It's very similar to the CCS, but there's a cannon fodder post that discusses the differences, if people want to look that up. It's an older ship that got pushed back into a more defensive role over time. And there's going to be ADP class escorts. Those are smaller ships that are basically frigates, things like that. And liches. We're going to add liches in for the defense fleet option as well.
Liches are going to be interesting. They're going to give patrol fleets a little more bang for their buck, so to speak. The relatively small numbers do some actual big damage.
A debuffer.
Yeah. Because it will make attacking worlds a little more difficult. And if you don't deal with these things, they're going to make a siege very prolonged and very difficult to just keep maintained.
Right. The Covenant defense fleets are focused more on slowing down the enemy coming through and giving you time to get an actual fleet into the gravity well. They function a little bit differently than the normal fleets of ships. They do things like debuffing the ships, reducing or increasing weapon cooldown so it takes longer to fire, slowing ships down. The RCS cruiser has an ability that Cole is working on. Do you want to talk about the stasis and folder?
Well, the exact details aren't exactly worded out, but stasis and folder is going to be just either AoE or targeted, and depending on which one we go with, it will depend its intensity. That overall just drains the ship's targeted, stops their overall efficiency, brings it down. Weapon cooldowns will go up. Engine speeds will either completely stop or just go so far down it's useless. Hull regen, shield regen, gone. And it'll be useful for slowing stuff down, especially if we go with the AoE option, because it will just stop everything, literally.
AoE being area of effect.
Yes, yes.
We have to translate this for all the Halo fans, not just the strategy guys.
Yeah, the first-person shooters out there. Yeah.
And, well, anybody that's shot a rocket launcher knows area of effect.
One of the great things.
Stasis and folder type of ability in the first Halo Wars.
Yes, the vampire uses a stasis.
Yeah. So essentially, take the vampire shooting at a hornet, then put the vampire as an RCS and the hornet as like a frigate, and you have probably what is going to be the stasis and folder system and Sons of the Prophets.
Okay. How'd you guys get actually involved like this? Were you into this Halo and you saw that this was an opportunity to jump into modding stuff, or like what specifically drew you to this project? I know you guys kind of mentioned when, but what's the why?
So for me, I've been a huge Halo fan since it originally got packaged with the Xbox original, the Xbox Classic. And I've played Halo religiously from high school up until I joined the military and then out. And when Sins of the Solar Empire came out, I bought that game because it looked like an interesting strategy game. And my second passion, aside from Halo, is our strategy games. And I played that and I was like, man, it would be great if there was a Halo mod for this. And so I started Googling around and I found out that there was one. And but nothing had been released yet. And I just found the forum where they were talking about working on it. And so I tried to bribe the founder to let me in on the private beta. And he was such a great guy. His name is Jake, and he's moved on from the project now. But he was like, no, I'm not going to take your money. Just come on, be a playtester, and just help us work on this. And I really took a liking to it. I took a like to working on the balance and things like that. And over the course of about 6 months, my involvement in the project grew, and I started doing more and more for the project and helping make more and more decisions. And eventually it just ended up where I was making most of the decisions, and then Jake eventually just moved on. He got involved with college and life and all that stuff.
As it tends to happen.
Yes. I had already, you know, I'm 30 now, so I was a little bit ahead of the game in that respect. So I had had my life a little more figured out. And so he just kind of stepped out and let me step in. And it was very gracious, and I appreciate it very much because I've really enjoyed working on this project. It's been a passion of mine since 2010, and I don't see myself leaving anytime soon.
Awesome. What about you, Cole?
Well, I found this probably 3 years ago now, and when I just finally picked up an Xbox after years of trying to figure out how to get one, and I got addicted to Halo, then got on my computer and was like, you know, I should look up Halo mods. And I first ended up at Covenant at War, which we mentioned earlier, and I saw a link linking back to Sins of the Prophets, and I stumbled into it. And I effectively went harebrained, obsessed for like 3 months. I badgered on the forums until eventually one of the admins decided to give little old me a chance to be a playtester. And I just moved up in the project to coder and kept climbing up doing more stuff until I got to where I am right now.
I think I'm seeing a trend of if you want to be in modding, you want to be a playtester first.
Yeah.
That's a great way to get started.
I noticed you were very apt and willing to learn. And I actually remind me a lot of when I first started, by not for Sins, but many years ago for another strategy game. I said, you know what? He wants to learn. He wants to get on the team. Bring him on. And we'll, I think I see good things in him. And now here he is on the stream with us.
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to say you need to be really good at testing people.
Yeah, well, yeah. Sounds like that, too.
That, too. But I first saw Halo back on, for Halo 1 for PC. Ironically, it was one of my first Halo video games. It was, for me, it helped bring me on, actually, to first person. One of my first person shooters I got, other than GoldenEye on the N64. And and it was also my first arena shooter, and I just really came to like Halo that, and then also Halo 2 on PC.
So did you and get involved with
Sins?
Did you get involved with any of the modding scene for Halo Custom Edition and Halo 2, or did you just jump into Sins as your first kind of modding scene for Halo?
I was really young then. No, Halo was indeed my first exposure to modding as a whole. I was really young back then, so I just did like some simple maps and stuff, nothing really major. Eventually, I did what started me in modding was two strategy games, very different ones, Star Wars Empire at War and Hearts of Iron 2, where I did a bunch of modding there. And then later on with Sins, I was told a friend of mine, at uni, I saw another mod that I got involved with in Slack Empire. Now I actually run the project entirely. And then what happened with Sins of the Prophets was this was soon after Rebellion was released. I knew one of the playtesters at the time. And he said, hey, you know, he said, basically, yeah, we're having a group chat. And he mentioned that that some of the guys were having some trouble getting the conversion to Rebellion. So I, being myself, came in and said, hey, you know, if you give me access to the internal beta, I'll do it for you in a day. And that's exactly what I did. I converted the mod from Sins of a Slower Empire Entrenchment, which was an older version of the game, into Rebellion. And then I also posted some screenshots into the public for
Lavo, you're breaking up pretty bad, buddy.
Yeah, your connection.
I apologize. It must be my internet being bad.
We got most of
just
it.
Just today. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. It's all right. We got most of it. So, I mean, that's kind of cool, though, with all the stories that you guys have. It's kind of interesting because a lot of the modding stuff that we hear from Halo is usually originated around Halo Custom Edition with the maps and the weapons, and people have even made their own campaign. We've had Masters, who I'm guessing you guys are familiar with from the CMT SPV3 mod.
Yeah, I'm crazy excited to play the next version of SPV3. He does great work.
Yeah, so that is something that I think a lot of people have been a little more keen to, but this is something that kind of is almost more along the realms of Halo Wars. Instead of being on a local scale, you're looking at a planetary scale, which is pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, the scale is significantly more massive, and we think that brings an interesting angle to Halo strategy. We're big fans, most of us, of Halo Wars. We're crazy excited for Halo Wars 2. And the more strategy games that come out in the Halo franchise, we think the better. We're very excited about it.
Well, what do you guys think about Halo Wars 2 then coming out this year?
Our hype is real.
I'm going insane.
I'm so looking forward to it.
We speculate for hours about what the story is going to be and what we're going to see in it.
Yeah, what are your speculations so far?
Well, it seems like there's probably going that the ship might be exiting out in brute controlled space, it would appear. And we're hopeful that I'm hopeful, at least personally, that it's post Halo 4, but before Cortana went all nuts. And so there's going to be this aspect of a primary group, a brute faction, and all of the interesting kind of things that might come out of that.
Anyone else?
I'm really looking forward to it. And I might even do a little tweaking and modding over there, depending on how it is, because it's on PC too. So we'll have so many options, so many things you can do. I would expect if there's like some unit or faction or whatever that isn't in, that's from Halo, don't be surprised if you find some people who actually put it in.
Oh, yeah. I'm already banking on the Flutter somehow. If they're even in the game, they'll get their own faction through some modding magic.
They might not get their own faction, but they might be a mode.
Oh, I didn't just think about
that.
Just
think of what we can do with Sins.
Like as a multiplayer mode, you mean? Or... So I'm assuming the campaign
like a firefight type mode anything. Where Flood would come in and instead of normal units or something like that.
Yeah. You could have like a whole PvE, like a bunch of players working together to fight off the Flood or defend against it.
That'd be interesting.
Or even you say have it as a sort of random, like, you know, you just open up, you find this Forerunner structure, right? You think it's a research facility, and then you find out actually it was a Flood research facility, and then the Flood are here.
You've unleashed the Flood.
So it could even be a random thing in the game.
Well, they did kind of have that mechanic in Halo Wars. Granted, you had to trigger it, but...
Well, in some of the multiplayer scenarios, didn't some of the side bases that you could capture, weren't they Flood-infected?
Well, yeah, they were Flood-infested, but they wouldn't, like, send out waves of enemies.
Right.
There was the one... I can't think of the name of the map. There was one map that if you didn't clear the center... they would come and attack your bases.
Wasn't that the last mission?
No, I'm talking in multiplayer.
Oh, gotcha.
The last mission, yeah. You had to continually clean them, or they would regenerate and come back to attack your bases. But in a multiplayer map, and I can't think of the name of the map now, it's the one that had the ring in the center with one generator there, I believe. But... it had Flying Flood, and they would come over and they would actually attack your base if you didn't put up defenses because you had a day-night cycle on the map. And then there was another map, which was one of the smaller 1v1 maps where you had places where you could actually activate a Flood attack and they would go attack the other team's base. Or if you activated the wrong one, it'd come attack your base. But a lot of people use that to their advantage. They use those Flood to level up their units.
Gotcha.
But
HTR in the chat said maybe Exile?
Yes, yeah, Exile.
That sounds right.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are definitely excited for Halo Wars 2. Everyone's been asking for one for a long time, and the fact that we're finally getting one out there is awesome, I think. How would you really like to see... I don't know how sure I am with this, but if Halo Wars 2 is basically the reintroduction of the Flood from 343 standpoint, I think that'd be a good introduction back into the universe.
I agree.
It would be great. Great. I want to see the Flood come back. They need to make another return. It's just need.
I almost feel like Halo Wars 2 is going to be a lead up to the story of Halo 6. So Halo 5, obviously we have the whole Cortana going a little bit crazy, but I almost feel like Halo Wars 2 could possibly feed in story to Halo 6, depending on how it's done and what the campaign actually entails.
I'm personally really interested in the degree to which Halo Wars 2 is going to feed into the rest of the franchise and the storyline, because when the original Halo Wars came out, it was kind of forced on Bungie, and they weren't super happy about it. And I mean, they just didn't seem to like it very much, and we didn't even see the CPV or ships like the Spirit of Fire really come into the main lore for a long time. So it's going to be really interesting to see how 343 responds to it, because I mean, they seem to have come back around to maybe a Halo Wars game is a good idea, since you know they're paying somebody to make one for them. So it's gonna be interesting.
You know, I've always played, well, in my Xbox history, I've always played shooters, mainly Halo. I did go to the other side for a brief period, but I came back. Or racing games. So when I got my hands on Halo Wars. And I'll be honest, I bought it because it said Halo on it.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. And same reason. I was kind of like, okay, well, I'll try it. And I started playing the campaign, and I think the first day I played it for like 8 hours. And it just totally lost track of time. And that really caught my attention. I didn't really think I'd get that involved in the game. So when they announced Halo Wars 2, I'm really am pumped for it, because I want to see the rest of that scene. I want to know what happens after the Brute says, "Run, little Spartans."
Yeah, I think it was a really good teaser that hooked me.
Oh yeah, it is definitely a good teaser.
And it was the first time that we saw the cinematics from. What's the group called? The one, I mean, they're doing them now, too.
Blur.
And 343's been using Blur ever since.
Yeah, they do amazing work.
Well, the thing that's crazy is Halo Wars cutscenes were absolutely incredible. And that was
they were Blur.
Yep.
Oh, they were Blur, too? Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
And Ensemble is who introduced Blur to the franchise.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Their last game. Although they would be the ones to make it, because they made Age of Empires, which was a pretty big RTS hit for PC, and then doing that on the console space. And from everything I heard, the control mechanisms that they had for the RTS structure on the console was actually really well done for the console. It's just RTSs are hard on the console already.
Yeah, the story goes that Ensemble originally made a different intellectual property for a strategy game on the Xbox, and they came up with these amazing controls, and they took that to Microsoft, and Microsoft was like, I don't think it's going to sell well trying to introduce a new IP. Let's go ahead and make it Halo themed. And so then they built the Halo game into this strategy system that they designed for the Xbox.
Well, it worked for me.
Yeah, it worked very well.
And I just picked it up again a couple weeks ago because I'm trying to go back and get some achievements. And it honestly took me maybe 2 or 3 minutes to pick up the controls again. They're that intuitive.
Yeah, they were brilliantly designed.
The controls are just genius. Genius.
Yeah, I just played a game once that launched for backwards compatibility, and you know, I just played a quick little skirmish match just to, you know, see how frame rate and stuff was. And it came right back to me just real quick as to what did what and how to use the units. And it was it really surprised me. I haven't been brave enough to go in on matchmaking yet, because the last time I did that, I kind of got my butt whipped. I've got two friends that I used to play Halo Wars with all the time, but now they're in college, so they're never around.
Are you kidding? That's when they're supposed to be around.
Well, they're actually studying.
I studied too. I got great grades in college, and I was playing Halo left and right.
Yeah, I'm not even going to mention my grades. And
well, one of them
when Halo 4 came out.
One of them's studying to be an engineer, and I forget what the other one's studying to be, but they're very devoted to what they went to college for. Don't get me wrong, they still get on and play. They just most of the time they're playing on PC games because it's kind of a hassle to take up the TV when you only have one.
All right. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I've got the wife and kids that want to watch everything, so I end up just working on the mod or playing it on the PC. Yeah.
I just actually checked to see if HaloWars.com was still up, and it is. My last online match was December 19th, 2014.
They're still tracking records on that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
On Frozen Valley.
I wonder who's running that or hosting that site. Well, I guess Microsoft is at some point, but that's kind of cool.
I'm assuming they're going to keep it around for when it comes to...
For two.
Yeah.
And backwards compatibility.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting back into that and playing some more of that. Because it was a lot of fun.
Wow, and that's an old website design. You can tell it's an older website design.
It's very aged. I know that Halo Wars had a huge player base for a long time. Like, years after it had come out, it had like 30,000 players per month. It was crazy.
That's nuts. Anyways, back to Sins of the Prophets. what's some ways people can get involved and help out with the mod?
Well, we are on a constant lookout for voice actors. So if you sound like an adult male and not 12, we'd love to hear samples. You can contact us through our...
And female.
Yes, male and female, yes. Right now, we're looking for people that are very baritone. We're looking for people that can do good Covenant voices. Primarily elites and brutes. We've fleshed out a lot of the UNSC, but we are, I mean, you know, some ships are coming in, so we are looking for more voice actors for basically anything. We don't care if you have accents. We're perfectly fine with that. You know, the United Nations was United Nations Space Command. So Australian, Ugandan, Chinese, you know, we want it all. We want to make the mod feel as much of a real experience as we can. And so we have things... We have people with different accents voicing different ships and things like that. We have a Russian, and we have a new one that's coming in for the autumn that is an Irish woman, you know, just things like that. And the biggest thing you can do, we have a release coming soon. It's to be determined, but when it comes out, the biggest thing that fans can do is play test it and come back to us with information about your experience, what you didn't like, what you liked, mostly what you don't like. What needs changing, how to improve it. We want to make this a mod for the community and for the fans. But if you also have modeling experience or you're good at texturing models, or you have really good Photoshop skills and you like designing UIs for different things, you know, we'd love to see what you think you could improve the mod on, you know, ways that you could work on it. We're more than happy to talk to people and figure out if there's a place on the team for them.
Nice. And how big is the team currently?
The team ranges from about 10 to 15 people at times, depending on the time of the year. A lot of the people that work on the team are college students working on, you know, like their bachelor's or their little higher up master's and things like that. And so it's seasonal work at times for a lot of people.
Gotcha. And what kind of work are you getting to make a final 1.0 of this? Because you mentioned earlier that you're not quite on the final version, but how close do you think you are to a like comfortable final version, then just keep working on updates?
Well, the version of the mod that's public right now is 75.1, and I'd say we're probably about 78 to 80% the way right now. We still have a lot of Covenant orbital structures to finish, and we still have a lot of voice work to get in the mod. And then our user interface is getting updated from a very old version. Someone named Wyvern Zudos, you might have seen their they made a remake map for Halo 5 for Sandtrap, and that was pretty popular.
Yeah, and that name's been thrown around quite a bit. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, she works on our UI. She's really good, but she's been crazy busy working doing maps for 343. So right now, UI work is kind of slow, but she does amazing work, and we're very happy to have her, and she's currently updating the UI. And we've got a few more ships to throw in for the UNSC. They just pushed out their Orion assault ship for fleet battles, and we're going to be putting that into the mod. We're finishing up the Strident, which is the are the little frigates that come out of the Infinity in Halo 4. Then we have a myriad of Covenant ships and orbital structures that we have to finish up and get into the project. Functionally, like balance-wise and things like that, the mod is mostly done, and it's really at this point is a lot of artwork. We have to do we have to finish up and clean up particle effects and things like that. Because the game is limited, we have to be really careful about the budget that we use. Kind of like how Forge maps have a budget for items.
Mm-hmm.
We have a similar deal we have to deal with particle effects, because there can only be something like almost 8,000 particles happening at once. And that doesn't sound too crazy, but when you have engine effects that have like 20 or 30 particle effects, and then you have fleet battles that can have, you know, 500 ships total counting both sides, those particle counts start getting eaten up a lot. So right now we're just trying to clean things up and get things prepared for the public.
And also we're going to finish up the defense fleets. Because that is really going to be a big, big game changer.
Yeah, right now in the public version at 75.1, the Covenant are not very good at defense. And they have to push almost as soon as the game starts. They have to start pushing out and expanding and trying to find out where the UNSC are and hitting them in their homeland, you know, their own territory, so that they don't have an opportunity to get into Covenant space. Because once they do that, you have to start building ships in the area again and trying to chase the UNSC fleet down. So Covenant defense fleets are going to be a big mechanic that changes things and makes a little bit more of an even playing field for the Covenant versus the UNSC.
Now, how much work have you had to do on, like, the artificial intelligence to run these defense fleets?
Oh.
That's not entirely done yet, in truth. But there's one key thing to note about Sins and AI. And specifically, that thing is that we can't modify the AI itself. The AI is completely hard-coded.
Oh, that sucks.
It's part of the base game's engine. Yeah, so we have to tailor ship stats and things like that, like you know, how much a ship costs to build, the kind of damage it produces, DPS per second. And so we have to tailor those things, and we have to tweak them, you know, a little higher, a little lower, to get the AI to respond the way that we want to these ships. It's very unfortunate that the AI is so hard-coded. But we found ways of getting around it. We have a team of playtesters that's about 20 strong, and we have them playtest the mod when we make changes, and then we get reports back from them about how it responds, and then we make adjustments to the balance to produce the kind of effect that we want. It's kind of like soothsaying. I mean, you're really just hoping that what you do kind of gets the response that you want, and then when you get it, you just don't touch it anymore, that one particular thing, and you just try not to accidentally affect it.
Well, oftentimes there's some little things we can tweak. We can indirectly influence the AI at times. And that's really how we've done a lot of our changes. We've indirectly influenced it by, say, telling it, like, a certain ship, even though like, it might be, say, a frigate, we tell, actually, this thing's a carrier. So it thinks it's a carrier, because that's how it prioritizes its build order.
Interesting.
That really sucks that the AI is hard-coded, though. So you basically just have to... Because that really restricts a lot of the different scenarios that you could probably make.
Extremely, yeah. Unfortunately, the kind of game that we want to produce for Sins of the Prophets is this massive scale, this empire building. And there aren't really any other games that give the kind of visual fidelity that we want along with that kind of aspect other than Sins of the Solar Empire. And Sins of the Solar Empire is very locked down. It's mostly asset replacement and adjusting stats on the ships. And then, you know, changing UI textures. It's very limited, but we've done a lot with what we've been able to change.
Gotcha. Well, you've done a lot already, and it seems that there's a lot of really good stuff that's coming out. I mean, the assets look incredible. And just from some of the videos I've seen from all the battles, it looks like a legit battle that you would see play out in the Halo universe. So I give you guys huge props on making it totally believable.
Thank you very much.
I reserve the term realistic because Halo is not a technically real game.
Right.
It's a sci-fi, sci-fantasy. So, but within that aspect, it seems very real, which is amazing. It's really awesome. There's quite a few ways to kind of get in touch with you guys. You obviously have a, a ModDV entry where a lot of your stuff is posted. What are ways that people can kind of reach out to you if they want to get involved with this or look at it or possibly become a playtester and maybe even end up on the team like you guys?
A good way to try to petition to be a playtester is to go to our internal forum, which is at sinsoftheprophets.com. We have a Twitter that is Sins of Prophets. We have a Facebook page. If you just type in the search Sins of the Prophets, you're going to come up with our Facebook page and then our Facebook group. And we've just recently produced a subreddit, which is our Sins of the Prophets. And, any one of those locations we spend time in, we interact with the fans, and we publish information about what's going on and screenshots of things as we work on and develop them. We try to get feedback. Anytime we make any kind of big change, we try to put that out to the fans as quickly as possible and get their response, because most of the people that play Sins of the Prophets are lore fanatics. They've read most of the books, and they're, big-time strategy players outside of the particular Halo mod. And so, we try to use their pool of information and knowledge and experience to make adjustments and improve.
Nice. Have you actually had any feedback from 343 about any of this stuff, or is it because it's a mod they kind of stay hands off?
They basically stay hands off. We are talking behind the scenes with 343 and Spartan Games about the level of interaction that we could possibly have with them, but there's a lot of legal risk if they get too involved.
Yeah.
And so we don't really hear anything other than what you guys are doing looks great. You're doing a good job. It's interesting. And, we're glad the fans like it. But other than that, they really don't say much.
I mean, that's pretty much, I guess, all you can ask for, right?
Yeah. I mean, for many years, we kind of hid in the shadows because we were afraid that we would eventually get shut down, like some Halo mods have in the past, right around the time that Halo Wars came out. But as time has gone on and we've gotten more popular and we've been unable to avoid some of the, minuscule limelight we get, we've been interacting more and more with 343 and people around 343. And, it's been really refreshing. They're doing great for the Halo community.
Even when people give them a lot of crap, they're still doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. I mean, from our perspective, they're doing some amazing stuff. It feels like they're starting to care more about ships again. They've got Halo Fleet Battles coming out where they're, every couple of months they're churning out new ships for both factions, Covenant and UNSC. And eventually they're going to be moving from the war era ships into the post-war, the stuff like the Stridents and Infinity and all that stuff. And, we're more than happy and crazy excited to see what they come up with and how it might be able to fit into our mod. And thankfully, they're okay with that, so it's great. We're very happy with the way 343 has evolved and grown over time to interact with the community better and better.
Well, it seems like you mentioned earlier, all the stuff that you've made is original content, even though it's kind of based in the Halo universe. So, I think that's pretty good grounds for staying off the bad side of Microsoft legal.
Yes, we try very hard to follow the rules that Microsoft has published about using Halo content. We don't use any Halo music in the mod at this time. We have a professional personal composer that does game music, mostly for like phone apps and stuff like that. But they make music for us for the Covenant, UNSC, and potentially future Forerunner stuff. And they do all of that on their own, and we throw that into the mod. We have people ask us all the time why don't we use like Halo Wars music or Halo 1 or Halo 2, and it's mostly because of the legal risk, but we're also very happy with the music that's getting produced by our composer. His name is Wasim Faraz Butt, and he does amazing work. We're very happy.
Nice. I think that's going to wrap it up, unless Bio and Godzilla, you have any other last minute questions. I think we'll have you guys back on again, because thanks to you guys posting up on your Facebook page, Sins of a Solar Empire is actually 75% off in the Steam store. So I went ahead and bought it to possibly get a play test out of you guys at some point.
I'd love to do it. I will get you an internal copy of what we're currently working on. I'll be more than happy to play with you.
Awesome.
Something that I wanted to brush up on real quick, since we're talking about music. Where do you guys get all your little noises and stuff? Like, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that we already talked about a lot of like little things, but you know, apart from music, where do you guys get your ideas from? Like for, you know, gun turrets, stuff like that, that since you don't get them, you know, from Halo itself.
Well, our audio director is a guy named I Am Sancho, and there are a lot of free sound effects out there that people you're legally allowed to use. And so a lot of times those are the bass, and then we tweak the sounds to try to be as close to what we hear in the canon as possible. And when there isn't, we just try to find something that sounds like what we imagine it would sound like from reading the books or something like that, you know, for like plasma weapons and ships exploding and that kind of thing.
Okay, cool.
Do you do any sound engineering?
Yes. Actually, there's a news post on our ModDB profile that's pretty old at this point. But for the flood sounds, Sancho actually did Foley work, you know, with like a bowl of spaghetti and shoving his hand in it to get this kind of flood gurgle. And then he overlaid that with, you know, somebody speaking baritone and then modulating the voice to try to get this grave mind sound out of it. And I think he's gone to a gun range more than once trying to get stuff for like the autocannons and things like that. And I think he's trying to find time to do things like that more in the future. So as, you know, time goes on, we're going to get better and better sound effects.
Nice. Sound effects be important.
Very, yes. Very important.
Very important.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for taking the chance to sit down with us and talk about your mod. I'm really looking forward to trying it out, and I hope everyone here has been interested in it, and maybe you'll go check it out as well. I'm not sure how long the Steam sale is for, and if it's still up by the time I post this, I'll go ahead and post a link to it in the podcast episode post.
If you go on and it's not on sale at that time, I would recommend that you put it on your wish list, because Sins of a Solar Empire goes on sale all the time for about $10, all the time. So if it doesn't happen now, in like a month and a half, it'll go on sale again and you'll be able to pick it up. And we encourage you to come and try to play Sins of the Prophets.
I believe it's until the 28th of March, the sale.
So you've got 4 days.
Okay. I don't think the show will be up by then, to be perfectly honest.
That's all right.
I have three.
Well, you can go ahead and put the bookmark in there, and then they can add it.
Yeah,
add
that's it true.
To their wish list.
That's true. I have two other podcasts that are technically due before this one. Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, it's going to go on sale again pretty soon. It goes on sale all the time.
Gotcha.
I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity. We really appreciate the opportunity to be on here and talk about the mod and to get to talk with you guys. I'm a big fan of Podtacular, and I've been listening through the various crews that have kind of been on Podtacular over the years.
There's so been a lot
of them. It's a real honor to get to be here. Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's an honor.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you guys on. And I know we've been trying to get it set up for a while, and schedules kind of just got a little crazy, but we finally got it taken care of. And like I said, we'll be happy to have you back on once I have a chance to play it. And I don't know if these two knuckleheads will get down and try to play it, but it sounds really interesting. A lot of the stuff looks really good. I will say, from all the videos and screenshots that I've seen and everything that you guys keep posting about, it definitely looks like something that is pretty much on the caliber of a Halo game. I mean, your stuff just looks that amazing.
We really appreciate it. That means a lot. We put a lot of love into this project. It's our love letter to the Halo community and to the work that Eric Nyland did in Fall of Reach and the following books that he worked on, and the short story for Admiral Cole. You know, that's been our inspiration for this project.
Well, so far you guys have knocked it out of the city at this point.
I hope that my internet will be more cooperative next time around.
Oh, dude, don't worry. My internet screws up all the time. There's
it's all right.
Yeah, we're gonna have to cut. We're gonna have to cut this short because Bio's hamster is probably getting wore out.
Oh, did one already fall off its wheel? I don't replace him.
BioNet strikes again. Alrighty. Well, thanks everyone for listening in. Thank you, Sins of the Prophets, for being on the show. It was a pleasure. Remember, you can check us out over at podtacular.com, and you can find us on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch. We stream our podcast on Twitch every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we also stream our Fragging Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll actually be starting to stream Tactical Tuesdays and Warzone Wednesdays after my move. And yes, I am moving, and the house number I'm moving to is 117, believe it or not.
Nice.
Is it really?
It is.
That's the reason he's moving. It's the whole reason he's moving is because the house number.
I will admit, once I figured out my friend...
I've seen worse reasons.
Once I found out my friend was getting the house that was number 117, I had more of an urge to move in. Not that I already... I wanted to move in with him anyways because he and I are good friends. But once I saw the house number was 117, that sealed the deal. Yeah, that's a thing. But once I get my new setup, once I get everything organized in my new place, then I'll start streaming the Tactical Tuesdays and Warzone Wednesdays that I'm taking part of. And for those that are part of the Spartan Company, those are on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 9 p.m. respectively Eastern time. And right now, the Tactical Tuesday requires you to be in the Spartan Company. Warzone Wednesday right now does, but we're thinking about opening that up to just Warzone Wednesday, where we all get online and we'll play with other Spartan companies or other people or whatnot. Still kind of up in the air on that one, but we've had actually great turnouts the past couple of times. I think Arena this week, we had somewhere at least 7 at one point for Arena. And then Warzone, we had a party. We maxed out at 10 last night. And then a couple of past times that we got together that I was there, we also had some pretty decent turnouts as well. So things are going well there. We did reach our 100 limit. So I did go and whack some people that hadn't been playing since like December and January. So there are spots available still for our Spartan Company. And if we end up filling up, well, Sins of the Prophets has a Spartan Company that you can go join them too.
Yes, we do. And we'd be more than happy to have you.
Yep. But we are on the hunt for the Achilles armor, pleasure. Just out of respect for everyone in the company that might want it. So we do ask that you try to at least attend 2 Spartan Company events per month and pay attention to your waypoint messages, because that's where we're going to be doing a lot of our communications from now on. Instead of me having to send out Xbox Live messages and spend an hour trying to get everyone's gamertag into the message thing, because Xbox Live doesn't have a good API for mass messaging people. So make sure you check your waypoint messages frequently. I'll try to send stuff out usually a couple days in advance with regards to events and whatnot, but that's going to be our primary method of communication for getting stuff organized for company events and whatnot. So make sure you're active. Make sure you're at least playing Halo and you're active on it, not just playing whenever updates come out or just on the off chance. But make sure you're actively playing Halo 5 to not be cut. Because first, I'm going to cut off people who haven't been playing Halo. And second, I'm going to cut off who haven't been participating in company events. So that's the thing. GT, what is up with achieving Halo? Give us a little update.
Trying to wrangle cats.
All right. So if you're part of the Spartan Company and want to be part of a video for us, then hit up GT on the forums or on Twitter or anywhere to get involved with that. I think you're still working on Blue Team, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, still working on Blue Team. I am trying to get people together Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Unfortunately, the last month has been kind of nuts for me. Both me and my wife have wound up in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Luckily, my stay was only a couple hours. Hers was a week. So I've been kind of distracted for the last month when it comes to making videos. But yeah, if you want, just hit me up. You can hit me up on the company forums. I've got a post there. You can message me directly on Twitter at Godzilla Todd, on Xbox Live at Godzilla Space T. Don't forget the space. If you want to join in, just send me a message and I will get you in. And it doesn't matter what your time zone is. We'll work around it.
Cool. We did have a question of the week 3 weeks ago that we posted on Twitter. And I'm going to go ahead and touch on that real quick since I forgot to touch on it. And I'll try to remember to have a question for next week. But this was 3 weeks ago. I asked, which UNSC flying vehicle would you like to see introduced into Halo 5? So the options were Hornet, Falcon, Sparrowhawk, and a new vehicle, just something completely new. And the results was 34% Hornet. Want to see the Hornet return?
I'd say odds are pretty good that the Hornet is going to come in.
I think a lot of people were kind of thinking that might be one of the more balanced flying vehicles, at least from talking with other people already. But the Falcon came in pretty close, second with 29. New vehicle came in with 26, and then the Sparrowhawk was 11%. I pulled one from Halo Wars, and the Sparrowhawk seemed to be the most kind of realistic within the first-person shooter. So I did Hornet from 3, Falcon from Reach, Sparrowhawk from Wars, and then I just did new vehicle for people who would like to see something new there.
My vote was Falcon.
The Vulture from Halo Wars would be amazing, but incredibly OP.
Yeah, a couple of people mentioned the Vulture.
How would you fly that thing? I mean, really, in a first-person shooter, how would you fly that thing? I don't think there's enough real estate on the screen.
You could have it be like a really slow version of the Phaeton.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, the Phaeton. Yeah, that's the only other kind of ship that, I mean, because it has the same, or it has a similar moving mechanics, but again, to your point, it would be kind of OP. Just a little bit. So I'll try to remember having a new question of the week up for next week. I got to think of one. But yeah, well, I'll have another one. I'll set a reminder to do that. Make sure you check out our podcast network. We are part of a conglomerate of gaming podcasts, joined up with Critcast, Guardian Radio, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find all those podcasts over at podka.st. And just head on over there and let them know that we sent you. Great podcast to listen to if you're looking for stuff to pass the time at work, or if you're just looking for some other great content to listen to. But they're definitely pretty good to check out. Great content, great commentary, and overall just great stuff. Like I mentioned before, we will be discussing the Halo World Championship next week. We do have some interviews with some teams, and we're going to have Naked Eli on the show. At least those schedules still managed to come out. He's been a little AFK, and we might get to scoop on why, but did get to meet up with him this week and actually stayed with him for the duration of the Halo World Champion, and we got to talk about some stuff, so that was pretty cool. So we'll be doing that next week, and then we have a couple other things lined up for the weeks to follow as well. So make sure that you're stay tuned to Podtacular, and we will keep you guys in the loop, primarily on Twitter. So make sure you're checking us out there. Until then, keep on fragging profits.